This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Riggebein. Joining me as usual in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you this
morning? Good, Wally. How are you?
Great choice of music this morning, Naz.
Yes,
just
sir.
Before we went on air, we don't have news anymore, but you've been picking these sports songs the last few weeks. We had Clear the Track Sunday before. What's this Gordie Howe song this morning,
Gordie Naz? Howe was the greatest of them all.
Greatest of them all, certainly.
There's debate about that.
But he's always considered, they call it the Mount Rushmore of sports. I think... There's four of them that get mentioned all the time. Gretzky, Orr, Lemieux, and Howe seem to be always in the conversation for the top four of all time. Although Crosby's getting up there, and McDavid may start cracking that the way he's going. Maybe start cracking that party as well. Anyways, also joining us this morning, former Toronto Maple Leaf, former Washington Capitol, affectionately known as Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you guys doing out there?
Doing great. Getting excited, Lou. It's the RBC Canadian Open this week up at TPC Osprey. We're going to be talking to tournament director Ryan Paul shortly after the first break. So I'm excited about some of the best golfers in the world are coming to Toronto, so we're going to head up there for a few days, and it's always a great event. And Naz, I'm sure you remember from a couple of years ago.
Oakdale.
At Oakdale, I remember talking about it on the show, but more or less this time 2 years ago, and that was we're heading into the Sunday, and Taylor and Connors were in conversation, and I remember you, Naz, made the prediction that a Canadian is going to win the Canadian Open this year, and who can forget Nick Taylor on the fourth playoff hole? What a remarkable event! I got the opportunity to jump on the green and take my infamous picture, but Canadians, we got 21 of them going in, so we're going to get a chance to talk to Ryan Paul about that, and we got some Canadians who are doing some remarkable things in the NBA playoffs. Of course, number one is SGA, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, the NBA's MVP, the MVP of the Western Conference Final. Oklahoma City Thunder are the favorites going to the NBA Finals. We've got a bunch of Canadians that are playing significant roles, and we're going to get a chance to talk to Mr. Basketball Canada, Leo Routens, down at the bottom end of the hour. We've got a trivia question this week, Naz. We won't give it out now. We'll give out a Pizzaville gift card later on in the show, so keep your fingers next to the phone numbers. We'll give out the phone numbers, and I know the good people at Pizzaville love to give away those $50 gift cards, Naz. And to all our listeners, if you send us a question or an opinion that we read on the air at Naz and Wally at mzmedia.com, you could get one of those Pizzaville gift cards as well. I know the good people at Pizzaville love giving them out, Naz.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So stay tuned. We'll have that trivia question shortly. And Lou, Connor McDavid looks pretty good, buddy.
Can we talk about the Leafs? Can we talk about
anything? Okay, we're going to talk about both. Okay, so you want to go to the Leafs? I've got it on my notes here.
Well, I missed last week, so.
Yeah, I forgot you. You jilted us. You dumped us last week. So, you got a lot to get off your chest on the air. So, Lou, go ahead, my friend.
Gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Start your engines.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
he's ready for bear this morning, Naz. Keep going, Luke.
You know what? It's great to hear Mr. Trevelyan to say what he said on Thursday or Friday that he spoke, that they're not committed to Mr. Mitch Marner, and it's...
No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that, Lou. He didn't say he's not committed to Mitch Marner. That's the spin that you're taking, but go ahead. Keep going.
Well, maybe that's the spin that I read.
Yeah, no, it's a fair... You can read between the lines. That's fine. Go ahead.
Okay, but there definitely has to be some changes here, guys. If he comes back, we're going to be in for another... I don't know what kind of year you want to call it, but you know, and it's really tough to put the finger on him because any of the core four really, and I'm going to put it bluntly here, stunk the joint out against Florida. Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, they were non-existent in the last three or four games. Tavares looked like he's lost a step. I don't even know if he got a point in any of the last four games. Nylander looked like he was lost in the defensive end. Matthews, I don't know what happened to him because he wasn't shooting the puck as he normally does. And obviously Marner's going to take the brunt of it because, you know, he wants $14 million next year. So this team is not that far off. It really isn't that far off. They gave Florida everything they could handle. It's just unfortunate that they... how do you say it in game 5 and 7? I can't say it on the radio, but they didn't play very well, and there's going to be a lot of question marks going into this long summer.
You have to give Florida credit, though, Louis.
Oh, you know what, Naz? I give Florida all the credit in the world.
They play a dirty.
They know what it takes to be a champion.
There's one guy I want to give credit to is their general manager, Bill Zito. Listen to what he's accomplished in his time on the job in Florida. This is off. Give credit to Steve Simmons for this in his column in the Post Media and the Sun today. This is what Bill Zito has accomplished since he's been the GM of Florida. He's traded for Matthew Tkachuk, Sam Bennett, Sam Reinhart, Eetu Luostarinen, Seth Jones, Brad Marchand. He claimed Gustav Forsling off waivers and also made signings such as Nico Mikkola, Evan Rodriguez, and Carter Verhaeghe. Not a bad body of work there, Lou.
You know what?
And we're talking about Tree Living, who his most notable comment from the week. His most notable comment from the week. I don't remember the exact words, but I remember the three letter reference he made to DNA. I can't remember what he said. If we have to alter or change the DNA, or we have to look at the DNA on this team, I can't remember. I think the concept was. There's something there that we have to change, and you want to look at what take a look at what Bill Zito's done in Florida and talking about changing DNA of a team. So, what was your impression of when Tree Living said we've got to somehow deal with the DNA on this team, which? I don't recall that there was any follow-up question on what he meant by that. I think it's not that difficult to read his mind. But in your sense, Lou, what was he talking about? And was he referencing and in the comment, you know, we've got to change DNA or whatever his exact words were. He didn't mention any players. He didn't allude to any players. But what players do you think he was thinking about?
Well, I'm not gonna single any players out. What I'm gonna look at is there's something definitely wrong in this dressing room. Ryan O'Reilly said it after he left.
My memory, Lou. What did Ryan O'Reilly say?
I can't quote unquote, but he said there was something. The only reason why he didn't come back there, he said there was something wrong in the dressing room.
Did he actually say that on the record?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yes, he did. Okay. So when a guy of that nature who's won and has played as hard as he did, you got to more or less take a second look at it. Two, DNA, you know how it is, Wally. If you haven't got the right pieces, if you have individuals think that they're bigger than the hockey team, like we know some players are, because in this day and age, the egos and the money factor sometimes gets to the player's head instead of to their ability. And three, Wally, just remember, 3 years ago, before they went to the first final against Vegas, they were one. If Pittsburgh had won
in Chicago
their last game of the year against Chicago,
I remember that.
The last place team, Florida would not have made the playoffs. And they could have made a lot of changes after that offseason. So just imagine that.
Naz?
Yeah, well, Louis, I got to ask you about the goaltending situation in Dallas and DeBoer throwing the goalie under the bus, Ottinger. Have you ever had that occur on a team?
Well, we in Washington, we had two number one goalies. You know, we had Patty Riggin, Al Jensen, then we got Pete Peters, and we had Bob Mason. So it really all depends on, you know, is he throwing him under the bus? I'm not sure if he's actually throwing him under the bus. I wouldn't have come out with a comment like that, that saying that, you know, we should have given him a rest. They're all number one goalies. He's getting paid well, $7 million. So if you're going to make a change like that, you make a change in either game, probably two or three. Because really, they didn't deserve to win game one. They came back with three goals in the first 5 minutes of the third period, and two of them were on the power play. So that was really, you know, that was a little bit like L.A. was. Edmonton should not have beaten L.A. in that first series, but L.A. made some crucial mistakes and errors that that let Edmonton back into the game and to the series. So if he saw that after game one and he was willing to go into Edmonton and maybe even after game two and say, okay, you know, we're going to give Ottinger a break in game three and four. So this way you're going to come back strong in game five.
And
I don't think he looked like himself or even like he looked during the regular season.
I don't have any issue with DeBoer pulling Ottinger. And I don't disagree with you. Maybe that should have been done earlier in the series. If you're trying to alter the chemistry of what's going on with your team or alter a series or that kind of thing. But pulling them after, well, I guess it's what? It was like, what, after the 6-7 minute mark after two shots?
7 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even have, I'm not so sure I have an issue with that just because, you know, you're trying to say, okay, you know, let's see if we can alter the momentum of this game. You know, pulling a goalie is sometimes done for, you know, to shake up your team, not necessarily to shake up the goalie. But the public comments afterwards, I found disconcerting, Lou, to be quite frank with you. You know, he essentially, for lack of, you know, if you read between the lines, he sort of put the blame on publicly on his goalie for, you know, mentioned how many times Ottinger had lost to Edmonton. It goes back to the comment that Matthews made, calling out, you know, his teammates as passengers. I don't know. I don't know how well that goes over. If I was the owner of the Dallas Stars, I don't know if I'd be too thrilled about him publicly criticizing, you know, my so-called franchise goaltender. And you know the psyche of goalies. You know, they're sort of a breed apart, Lou. You know, like the last thing you want to do is go after their confidence. Yeah. And I'm not so sure I would have. I'm not so sure that was a bright move on DeBoer's part, Lou.
I don't think it was either. But at the end of the day, he is making $8 million. He's got to own up to it. He's probably one of the top five rated goalies in the world. And to do that at home, which is more bothersome than doing it on the road. If they had gone down 2-0 on the first two shots in the game five, knowing that it was important, Wally, I think he would have probably done the same thing.
Wait, sorry, finish your thought, Lou. I apologize.
Okay. To think that you're going to get the team to change it around, I would have rather done it. I would have rather sat him out in game four to give him the rest. And this way he would be well rested, knowing that he's got game five and possibly a game six and game seven on the road at home. So to come out with that kind of comment, it is a little bit bothersome. I just hope that Ottinger, one, has thick skin, and two, the players are the same that are in front of him. So let's look at all the players. What did Johnson do? What did Robertson do? Great. What did Duchesne do?
Why single out your goalie? They left them on those two goals, man. They basically left them by himself.
Well, yeah.
You want to go blame the goalie? Go blame some of the other players at the same time. It's a collective effort, and accept responsibility yourself as the coach.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy, deflect criticism somebody else. You know, you're the captain of this ship. You know, the buck stops on your desk. And you know, to be quite frank, the Boers' record in the playoffs over the course of time hasn't been the best.
If this happened in Toronto, what would the reaction be, Louis? What would the reaction be if it happened in Toronto? What happened in Dallas with DeBoer?
Well, you know what? If they were in the third round, I don't think anything would have happened. No, but here's another thing, Wally.
Yeah.
Darnell Nurse takes a two-hander to
Rupi Hintz.
Neck, breaks his leg. Okay?
Yeah.
Where is the response and where is the leadership
of
Jamie Benn?
Yeah,
Jamie
exactly.
Benn and Marchment, because these are two players that are supposed to do something.
Somebody's supposed to protect your stars.
There was no pushback. There was no response. There was no...
Who does that remind you of, Luz? Who does that remind you of?
Are you thinking of Bennett?
No, think of another team that reminds you of.
I can't. No, help me with
blue,
that.
Blue and white. How many
times?
Yeah. How about when Matthew Nyes got taken out a couple of years ago, or John Tavares got taken out? Where was the pushback?
Yeah, and Bennett too. Bennett was a situation.
And Stolarz this year.
Yeah.
When he got his head taken out by Bennett. Where was the pushback?
Well, all I know, Wally, in our era,
those
guys would not have gotten out of the rink alive that night.
Yeah, well, it's a different world. We only got a couple of minutes left in this segment. We do want to get to the Oilers and Panthers series. Lou, Naz, first of all, over to you with the key to this series. Where do you see the series going?
Series is going to go where Connor McDavid goes, and I think it's going to be pretty far. So I'm going to pick Florida to go all the way.
Hold on. You said wherever McDavid takes them.
It's where they're going, and that's all the way.
But you just said Florida.
Over Florida.
Oh, over Florida. Okay, yeah. So you're picking Edmonton.
Yes, sir.
Louis?
Well, I hope that Edmonton has learned something from last year and the feeling that they had to lose Game 7. But I'm going to take Florida because both teams are better. I just think with Edmonton losing Hyman, it's going to be a big loss for them. So I'm taking Florida in 6 or 7.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a fascinating series. When you remember last year's series, Florida and Edmonton, there were a couple of games where Edmonton just blew them out. If I recall correctly, there was an 8-1 game and a 5-1 game, and they almost tied the game up in Florida with a couple of seconds left in the game last year. McDavid is all world. I think the key to the series, and I said this was the key to the Leafs series, and in the first two or three games, Leafs did this, and in the last three games, they didn't, is get the the Panthers are coming with a relentless forecheck. The key to this series will be the ability of the Oilers' defense to move the puck out of the zone quickly so that the Panthers' forecheck is not going to be the dominating influence in this series. And you look at the Edmonton defense in the Dallas series, they seem to be good handling the puck. And you go through the Edmonton lineup, you look at a guy like John Klingberg. He's playing he's playing in the second unit. And I go, why wasn't this guy able to do this for the Leafs? and you look through the Edmonton lineup, you, Connor Brown, you know, Hyman's not there. And
5X Leafs.
Yeah, 5X Leafs playing for the Edmonton Oilers that are, in my prediction, are going to be Stanley Cup champions. I go, what is it we miss with these guys when they're in Toronto? Well, you do a fantastic job of criticizing them when they're here. And like Tyler Bozak, they go somewhere else and they become Stanley Cup champions. Naz?
Evan Bouchard. He produces in the playoffs. 17 points.
Well, that's
amazing.
Yeah, some guys
and
have.
And he's up for a big raise. He's a restricted free agent, and he's 3.75 million.
And Kasperi Kapanen, of all people. Lou, these guys aren't, they're not McDavid and Dreisaitl and some of those guys, but then you look at guys like Corey Perry and Evander Kane and guys you think, you know, maybe those guys should have been in Leaf uniforms, but they, for whatever reason, they weren't here. But, it's interesting how players get criticized like crazy in Toronto, and then they go out of Toronto and they become Stanley Cup champions. Remember a guy by the name of Phil Kessel?
Yeah, Phil Kessel. You look at Verhaeghe,
Tyler Bozak, Verhaeghe.
You look at Trevor Moore. I think players talk to each other, and they tell each other to stay away from Toronto. And that's why guys like Corey Perry and Evander Kane, players of that nature, don't want to come here and play. It's unfortunate, but the conversation that Marchand and had more or less worked out to the media, that it's tough to play in this city, and if you haven't got thick skin and put it behind you when it's over, you are going to have a tough time. And players nowadays, they're too thin-skinned. They don't want to play. They want to play comfortable. They don't want the media jumping on them. They want to walk around with no attention. They just want the easy way of life instead of saying, "Listen, boys, let's get down and put our boots on and kick some butt."
Anyways, we're going to take it to break. We've got the RBC Canadian Open coming up in Toronto at TPC Osprey this week. Should be a fascinating tournament. We've got probably the best field, looking through some of these guys in the RBC field this year. It looks like the best field we've had for a while. It's going to be an exciting tournament. And so we've got coming up right after the break, the tournament director, Ryan Paul. He was on our show a few weeks ago, and he's going to bring us up to speed on everything that's going up in the foothills of Caledon. That's coming up this week. I'm excited about it. And we've got an incredibly strong Canadian contingent, Naz. Nick Taylor's doing phenomenal down at the Memorial this weekend. Let's see if we can. He's got a big stumbling block in front of him, a guy by the name of Scotty Scheffler. But Nick seems to be getting his game in order, and who can forget 2 years ago when Nick Taylor sank that 72-foot putt, which, Naz, if I recall correctly on the show 2 years ago, you predicted, not Nick Taylor, but you predicted a Canadian was going to win, and Corey Connors was in the thick of the mix, and we were both there that Sunday afternoon, one of the great sporting events I've ever attended in my life, and looking forward to some more excitement. Just to let our listeners know, we do have our trivia contest. Naz, if you can give us the trivia question, we'll be giving out a $50 Pizzaville gift card.
Who is the first Canadian draft pick in the NBA drafted in the first round?
So the first Canadian that was ever drafted in the first round of the NBA draft. Call us in. The numbers are 416-360-0740. 1-866-740-4740. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Ryan Paul.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced the New York-style cap-and-char pepperoni pizza. It comes with our signature thin crust, mozzarella and parmesan cheese, and our new cap-and-char pepperoni. You guys will love this New York-style cup-and-char pepperoni pizza so much, it'll bring out your inner New Yorker. Hey, same to you, buddy! Call Pizzaville at 736-3636.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work. whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Anyone can sell you a rookie card in mint condition, but only Mint Ink turns a purchase into an experience. Do you want more sports cards and Pokemon? Check out the Mint Ink trading cards and live experience in Vaughan. At almost 3,000 square feet and with a live studio and event space, Mint Ink's headquarters is where you, the collector, can meet your heroes. Open 7 days a week. Details at mintink.ca.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise. Understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
MDF Mechanical has something in common with the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. A full-service mechanical company to building owners and developers in the GTA, we've been installing and servicing electrical, plumbing, and HVAC systems since 1986. And sometimes, Naz accuses Wally of blowing his own hot air. When we're not serving customers, the winning team at MDF Mechanical is listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour every Sunday along with you. So, let's enjoy the rest of the show. From one superfan to another.
They're not here to be nice. They're here to be right. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We're live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. We're thrilled to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour the tournament director of the RBC Canadian Open, which is going to be going on this week. I'm thrilled about it. Everybody, Naz is thrilled about it. I know Lou's thrilled about it. Of course, I'm talking about Ryan Paul. Ryan, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Morning. It's great to be on again. Final day before we kick things off.
Yeah, it's certainly an exciting event. Who can forget what happened 2 years ago? And Ryan, I'm just going to tell you tongue in cheek. If a Canadian sinks a putt on the last, a walk-off putt to win the Canadian Open, I'm rushing the green this year again, and I'm going to be the guy that gets tackled, okay? Get the cameras ready.
Yeah, we're going to get the security ready.
Anyways, Ryan, just going through, we've had some, wouldn't call them late additions to the field, but the field looks... It looks awesome this year. I've gone through some of the names, some of the guys who are fixtures like Rory and Tommy Fleetwood and Shane Lowry and Justin Rose. But this year we've got Max Homa, we've got Wyndham Clark, Ludvig Åberg, the sixth-ranked player in the world, one of the most talented young players. And, of course, we've got all the great Canadians. We've got Tom Kim, who's an incredible character, Alex Noren. What a field this year, Ryan. Going to be exciting.
Yeah, it really is, and just all the players that you name there, and more down the list, it's the strongest field that we've had in. I went back 20 years looking at past fields, but more in-year winners than we've ever had, more top FedEx Cup ranked players, more the top 50 on the official world golf rankings that we've had. It is an incredible field, and I know you mentioned like Ludvig and those that are, call them additions that have come in closer to final field and within the last 2 weeks, and think you hear them talk about it, and the excitement to play in Canada is there. But it's also great as it kind of acts as that, first test and getting your game in shape as they head over to the U.S. Open the week after.
Looks like the Canadians are in good form this week. There's five guys in the top 35 at the Memorial. And they're playing really well. Corey Connors, Nick Taylor, Taylor Pendrith, Adam Hadwin, Mackenzie Hughes are all in the hunt in Muirfield. What's your feeling on those guys coming into the event?
They're doing awesome, and I mean that's no surprise. They're always on the top of the leaderboards. It seems every weekend event that is on tour. And yeah, Nick Taylor, like you said, is kind of right in that. Right in that mix. So if he can pull one off and come to Canada, that would be awesome. So we're definitely cheering him on from here. But Yeah, I think of all the fields, strength and the mentions of the international stars that we had, you can't forget about our Canadians. We got 21 of them in the field, and just continue to play at such a strong pace that they have a chance to win every week, and hopefully can be in Canada next week.
Ryan, before I turn it over to Lou, I just want to throw in a little disappointment on my part, but I was trying to get a tee time at the pulpit today, and I noticed all the tee times are all taken. I can't get a game today, Ryan, but there's a reason why. You've got qualifier going on at the pulpit today. Tell us what that's all about. So you've got guys who are still giving it a shot to qualify.
Yeah, if you wanted a tee time today, you would have had to sign up at one of our regionals across the country.
I'd have to have a much lower handicap, too.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's exciting. So we have our field is set except for four spots. So we have 152 over 156, and those final spots will be determined today. And players are teeing off at the Pulpit Club right now, 120 guys vying for four for those four spots. And really what that is and what makes our Open and National Open really special is that any Canadian has the opportunity to play in his National Open. We have five qualifiers across the country that took place earlier in May, and then those top players made their way to Pulpit to try to make it in. So I'm going to be heading down there today shortly and kind of see that finish play out. But it's exciting to see who's going to round out the field.
Lou?
Ryan, what kind of shape is the golf course in, or more or less the North golf course in, with all the incompetent weather that we've had lately? And has there been any sightings of Mr. McIlroy playing the golf course this week since he vetoed out of Memorial?
Rory's not up here yet. We'll see him later in the week. But we have had a few players start to make their way here now as it officially opens up for them today at noon. The course is fantastic, and the team at TPC Toronto, the agronomy staff led by Dave Hunter, their super, has just been doing a phenomenal work. They have pretty much kept the course closed throughout the entirety of this season, and a lot of our build, we really focused on putting that up last fall before the winter. So trying to keep that course as pristine as possible. And I think we did a good job. The rough is thick and dense, and the greens are rolling nicely. So I think it's ready for the pros next week.
We're talking to Ryan Paul, the tournament director at this week's RBC Canadian Open up in Caledon at TPC Osprey. Ryan, you know, the Paul family has been an incredible part of Canadian golf for a long, long time, and you're carrying on a family tradition here. I recall all the days when your father was, of course, talking about Bill Paul, who was such an incredible part of Golf Canada and such an incredible part of the Canadian Open and golf in Canada. And you've taken over the mantle from your dad. I'm just curious, you obviously had were tournament director of the Women's Open, but when they called you and said they wanted you to take over this role, which is a role your father had, what did that feel like?
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. And you kind of takes me back to being a kid and those early memories of riding in the cart and driving around and seeing the event that way and growing up with it. I grew up in Oakville, so just down the street from Glen Abbey, and all the years that it had hosted, it was always special. And just even back then when the event was in September, it was always looking forward to getting out of school for a few days to go check out the event and drive around with Dad. So to see it that way and then grow up and then start working at different capacities with the RBC Canadian Open in 2007 to kind of lead up to this moment has been remarkable. The support from everybody, including RBC, has been great. And looking forward to putting it all together for the first one this year.
Who does the course favor this week?
It's a really good question. The course is playing long. The rough is thick, so you got to be good off the tee to hit those fairways and not have some challenging shots coming in. But at the same time, the greens are they're sneaky tricky, and they got a lot of undulation in them. So it's kind of a just a template answer to say like the best player, but you really got to be able to strike it well off the tee and putt well as well. So whoever's got their game in shape next week is going to come out as a champion.
Lou?
Are we going to give the 18th hole a name here? And is it going to be, could it come down to the 18th hole like some golf courses or some tournaments are there with really nobody knowing what this golf course is all about?
Well, yeah, I think it will. The 18th is such a great hole where it's a par five. You really got to strike your tee shot and you got some bunkers that you got to carry it over. And if you do, you can put yourself up well for a second shot that's going over water. And it's really that, you know, true meaning of what a risk reward hole is. And Mickey and Andrew, the architect, kind of famously coined where it's a hole that you can easily get a three on and you can easily get a six or a seven. So I think that 18th will certainly be a pivotal moment. And from an entertainment standpoint, that's really what you want to see with a professional tournament is that drama and excitement coming up to the 18th. And you know, hopefully it's that player that needs to make that iconic shot coming into 18 to win the tournament.
What's fabulous, Ryan, is Rory McIlroy has over time made a commitment to the Canadian Open, and you know he's won it twice, and if he can win it a third time, he's joining some pretty, you know, some pretty impressive names, some of the greats of the game. So you know, for him to be a three-time winner would be amazing. And I actually got an opportunity to ask Rory a question at Oakdale. Great, great, great guy. Canadian Open, I'm sure you guys are thrilled that the top guy, like him and Scotty, are the two top in the world, that Rory is making such a commitment to Canada and to the RBC Canadian Open.
Yeah, and it's amazing. And he's spoken very, very honestly and open about playing the RBC Canadian Open every year and what it means and what national opens mean to him. And I think that's something that we're very proud of to hear and have him continue to be a spokesperson for the RBC Canadian Open and national opens across this planet, that what they mean to compete in them, to win in them and the teams that put them together. So to have him kind of share those has been great. And he's also open with, you know, while I'm sure he's wanted to win a U.S. Open in these last few years, he said since playing in the RBC Canadian Open in 2019, when our date changed to be that week before the U.S. Open, he's had his best finishes, aside from his win about a decade back, obviously. But it is a good test. Like we set up our tournament to be a good test and set up and warm up for that U.S. Open. And I think as Rory continues to share, you know, the benefits of that for him, it helps with our field, and we're seeing it this year.
Do you have a rink hole this year?
Yeah. We do. It's the the 14th hole at TPC Toronto, playing at about 150 yards, and probably one of the most I'll say attackable or scoreable holes, rink holes that we've had since his existence. And I think that's exactly what we've been striving for with this hole, is something that's going to get the fans fired up and energetic, and with that the players as well. And you know, I was looking back, and when we first opened up the rink in 2017, and at that time I was working as assistant tournament director for both events, and being part of that crew that came up with the idea and put it together, and seeing how it started and what it's become has been remarkable. We're almost fully enclosed in public seating and hospitality around that hole, so I'm excited to see how that atmosphere shapes up.
We've been talking to Ryan Paul. This week is the RBC Canadian Open Golf up at TPC Osprey. Ryan, we only have about a minute and a half left. Tell our listeners, I'm sure there's tickets still available. How do they get tickets? How do they get up there? How do they enjoy? And it's just a golf tournament. It's an event. You've got other things going on besides golf. So in a minute and a half, tell us about the whole experience that's going to happen this week up in Caledon, and how our listeners can participate in that experience.
Yeah, well, thanks for teeing that up. But tickets still available at rbccanadianopen.com. We are open Wednesday through Sunday, Wednesday being the pro-am and practice round for the players. So a great day to come out and get autographs and take it all in before the competition begins. Our opening ceremonies is also that day, starting at 3:30 in our fairway or fan village. It is, if you come in after 3, it is free admission. So just a way to invite everyone to the course, walk around, see it without without having to buy a ticket if they don't want to get that kind of early taste of the RBC Canadian Open. And then 4 days of competition from there. We've got 2 nights of concerts on Friday night, Saturday night. Friday night, Billy Talent is headlining with Sam Roberts Band on the Saturday, an all-Canadian lineup, something, again, that we're also very, very proud of. And the, with those concerts, it's your ticket to the golf tournament. Also gets you into the concert, so it's not an upgrade or a new ticket that you have to purchase if you want to check out those concerts. It's an all-inclusive with the golf ticket. And encourage everyone to come out, check it out. And yeah, tickets and parking information and all that can be found on our website at rbccanadianopen.com.
We've been talking to Ryan Paul. Ryan, thanks so much. Naz and I are going to be heading up, obviously, to participate. We'll see if we can hook up with you. It gives me an opportunity to check in with Dan and Mike as well. They've tolerated me for a couple of years, so I'll inflict myself on them again for another year. And you've got some great people working for you up there, and hopefully we get an opportunity to come say hello to you. Thanks so much for joining us this morning and sharing our passion with you. Thanks so much, Ryan.
Thanks for having me. We'll see you next week.
Ryan Paul, RBC Canadian Open Tournament Director. We do have a winner for the trivia contest, Naz.
Wow.
But we're not going to announce the winner until we come back from break. And I just did want to do an announcement. Tony D, there is a Tony D that called in 2 weeks ago. Somehow it's live radio. We lost your number. We owe you a Pizzaville gift card. Tony, if you're listening, give us a call. If we get your number, we'll make it up. We'll give you 2 gift cards to make up for the inconvenience.
I thought you just put an extra cheese in the pizza, right?
Something like that. Tony, give us a call, 416-360-0740. We really want to get that gift card out to you. We're going to be right back with Leo Routens.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced the New York-style cup and char pepperoni pizza. Start spreading the news. It comes with our signature thin crust, mozzarella and parmesan cheese, and our new cup and char pepperoni. You'll be king of the hill, A-number-1, call Pizzaville for the, New York-style cup and char pepperoni pizza at 736-3636.
Anyone can sell you a rookie card in mint condition, but only Mint Ink turns a purchase into an experience. Do you want more sports cards and Pokemon? Check out the Mint Ink trading cards and live experience in Vaughan. At almost 3,000 square feet and with a live studio and event space, Mint Ink's headquarters is where you, the collector, can meet your heroes. Open 7 days a week. Details at mintink.ca.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
MDF Mechanical has something in common with the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. A full-service mechanical company to building owners and developers in the GTA, we've been installing and servicing electrical, plumbing, and HVAC systems since 1986. And sometimes, Naz accuses Wally of blowing his own hot air. When we're not serving customers, the winning team at MDF Mechanical is listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour every Sunday along with you. So, let's enjoy the rest of the show. From one superfan to another. Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
There are two ways to argue sports with these guys, and none of them work. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. We're hoping to have Leo Routens on the line, but been having problems connecting with him. We will keep trying. Naz, we've got a lot of basketball we want to talk with Leo, so hopefully we'll get him on the line shortly. This is live radio, and sometimes you never know what you're going to get. We do have a winner for the trivia contest, which the question once again, Naz, was:
who is the first NBA Canadian draft pick in ever?
And we'll get to that as soon as we can. Anyways, we've got NBA finals going on, and it's hopefully we'll get Leo on quickly as we can. And it's going to be a fascinating series with a lot of Canadian interest: Oklahoma City Thunder against the Indiana Pacers. And question I would have loved to have asked Leo this morning. I was watching the Pacers game last night with the Knicks, and the MVP of the Eastern Conference Finals was Pascal Siakam.
Yep. Rick Carlisle came out and said that he was a superstar last night in the presentations. I wonder if he is a superstar, and I want to ask Leo that question, right?
Interesting question is, when I'm watching Pascal Siakam play for the Indiana Pacers, we're looking at it and saying, why isn't he wearing a Raptors uniform? Lou?
Why isn't he wearing a Raptors? Because they cleaned house. They got rid of all the players that that ended up winning the championship, and he was a great piece on that team, and I guess sometimes he decided to make changes because the team wasn't going anywhere, and they were more or less, he wasn't any good on this team, but by trading him, they got a pretty good return. Well, when I'm looking at this final here, because I've been watching most of the playoffs here, guys, pay attention to the Oklahoma City Thunder. This could be a dynasty in the building. You watch or you see all the players they have right now, the youth that they have, the athleticism that they have, and the loaded amount of draft picks, first-round draft picks that they have in the next 4 or 5 years. This team is stacked for bear to win this championship for the next 3 to 5 years in a row.
Who is that you're talking about? Indiana?
Oklahoma City.
73 million dollars worth he got, Alexander. Do you think he was warranted to get that kind of money,
Lou?
Well, it's, you know what? One, they got him for a steal. I'm thinking about of Halliburton. They did get CAJ there from a steal in a deal with the Los Angeles Clippers. But you know what? These guys are young, and he's worth every cent that they're paying him right now. You watch the way he can take over a basketball game. It's more or less like watching number 8 on Minnesota, and keep your eye on Halliburton on Indianapolis, because that's going to be a great one-on-one matchup.
Certainly that's the matchup everybody seems to be talking about. You know, SGA, NBA Player of the Year, MVP, most valuable player in the Western Conference Finals. He's, Oklahoma City are certainly favorites in this series. If he takes them through to an NBA championship, it's like you're in a conversation that it's him and Steve Nash. It really is. It really is no other conversation for the best basketball players of all time. Anyways, I think we have we finally got Leo on the line. Good morning, Leo Routens. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Sorry, I apologize. It's live radio, Leo. We've been having some technical difficulties, but we finally got you on the line, and you're going to help us give away our $50 Pizzaville gift card this morning, Leo. We asked our listeners to call in and answer the following question. So we're going to ask you to answer this question for us. Who was the first Who was the first Canadian ever drafted in the first round of the NBA draft?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. You know what? I don't know if I don't know. I mean, that was so long ago. I think it was some goofy kid from, I think he grew up in Toronto, played at St. Mike's. Rudens?
Yeah, some basketball legend called Leo Routens. Of course, we're having a little bit of fun with this. Of course, you were the first Canadian ever drafted in the first round. You broke ground for Canadian basketball, and that was I remember when that happened, Leo. It was a huge event, drafted by the Philadelphia 76ers. It was a big event in Canadian basketball history. So I want to thank our listener Nino from Toronto for getting that one. We'll get that Pizzaville gift card out to you. And
Nino, he's got to share. He's got to share with me.
Okay. We'll coordinate. I'll share each other's coordinates, and maybe you guys can get together. And also out to Tony D from a couple of weeks ago. Tony, call us in. We'd like to call us in and give us your coordinates again. Leo, we were just quickly chatting about, this is going to be fascinating from a Canadian basketball perspective. So much Canadian interest in the NBA finals. We've got, I wouldn't say for the first time in history. I mean, Steve Nash and SGA are now 1-2, 1A and 1B for the greatest Canadian basketball players. But if SGA wins an NBA title and he's an MVP as Steve Nash was, but even more important than that, there are quite a few Canadians that are starters in an NBA final and are going to make a difference, are going to be difference makers to who wins the NBA Larry O.B. Trophy, and that may be the first time in history that we've got this type of Canadian interest. Must be exciting for you, Leo.
It's amazing. You know, there's been so many things happening over the years, you know, from my time growing up in Canada where you had pockets of basketball and there was some excitement here and there. You had the Buffalo Braves coming to Toronto, and now you have, you know, you've got the most NBA players in the NBA outside of the United States. You don't just have, you know, marginal players or role players or guys trying to hang on. You've got key players. As you said, you're going into the NBA Finals now, and, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Lou Dort in Oklahoma City, you know, Ryan Emhart has been playing great basketball for Indiana, you know, along with Ben Mathurin coming in off the bench. So it's just so exciting to see. And when you're talking about, you know, you think about it, we haven't had a whole lot of guys up till these past few years, but we had some big ones. You know, you mentioned Steve Nash, two-time MVP. Jamal McGlone was an all-star. You know, and now Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is continuing to carry the torch, being MVP of the league, and, you know, very well could be a champion and MVP of the finals. So, you know, it's exciting times. And guess what? It's just going to get better. There are more and more kids playing. And the game is just growing by leaps and bounds.
Rick Carlisle called Pascal Siakam a superstar. Do you think he is a superstar?
Okay, that's a tough word to use. I think that he has the ability to be an elite player, but he's a superstar, can carry your team. Period. And Pascal has shown that's not his role. It wasn't his role in Toronto. When he was elevated to a number one guy in your roster, that wasn't him. But in Indiana, he blends in well with a variety of guys playing and stepping up on different nights. But when the pressure's not there to be that guy every single night, you get the best of Pascal Siakam. So I wouldn't go superstar. I say that he's capable of playing at an elite level. He's showing that. You know, I've always loved his game. He's got so many facets to his game. And he's an asset to your team as long as you can have the pieces around him to take that pressure off. And Indiana's done a great job of building a team that really accentuates the strength of all the guys on the floor.
Lou?
Leo, with you saying that there's so many kids on the up and up right now coming through Canadian Canada basketball, are they being developed here in Canada at the high school level, or are most of them going to the U.S. and developing their skills there?
No, that's what's changed dramatically. It used to be, you know, as soon as kids, you know, were dubbed good enough, they all went south, right? And, you know, going south for college, that's not a big deal. That's where you want to be because of the NCAA. That's where you get profiled and get seen. But what's happened in over the last, you know, 10 years is the AAU and prep circuit. Now Canada has prep leagues that go nationally across the country. And so the best kids don't have to go to the U.S. to play good prep basketball. So it's kind of taken over for high school basketball. High school basketball is not a big factor anymore because the prep schools and leagues are so good. You even have American kids coming up to play in these leagues. So that's really changed the whole platform and visibility aspect where kids do not have to go and leave home and you know, from the time they're ninth or 10th grade to get seen. They are getting seen. They're getting seen in the summer on the AAU circuit, and they're getting seen at prep schools all winter. So it's really changed, and it's great to be able to keep these kids at home, you know, for as long as you can.
Now we're talking Leo Routens. Leo, looking at the Thunder Pacer finals, which is going to start Thursday night. So far, it looks like Oklahoma City's the betting favorite. And probably deservedly so. The strength, aside from SGA, the strength of this Oklahoma City team, as they, the quotation marks, is they have an elite defense. What does that mean, an elite defense? When you're watching basketball and when a defense takes over a game, what are the players doing defensively that makes things difficult for an offense?
Bob, you kind of broke up there, okay. But I think I got the gist of it. Do you hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you fine, Leo.
If you can hear me okay.
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah, go ahead, Leo.
An elite defense, I mean, these guys are quick, they're fast, they have depth, they cover a lot of territory very quickly, they're in sync for a young group. They really understand the value of defense, how to play defense. They're extremely well coached. They have length, size, toughness. So this is a team that can really change a game. They have shown throughout the playoffs they can break a game open in 5 minutes, completely destroy a team in minutes. And their defense is suffocating. They can put small guys on bigs, bigs on smalls. They can do all kinds of things. And the rotations are tremendous. So it's not very common to see a young team understand the value of defense as well as they do and to play it as well as they do. And their quickness makes it, you know, like I said, it's suffocating at times. So, Indiana has become a much better defensive team over the last year from where they were last season. But I think the challenge of playing against Oklahoma City is going to be a big one. For the Pacers.
Lou Dort was rated in the first All-Star team for defense. What do you think of him as a shutdown guy?
Well, I've always loved Lou Dort. I mean, he played with my son at Orangeville Prep, and, you know, I got to watch him a lot. The funny thing is people said, you know, everybody thought he couldn't score when he got to the NBA. He just understood that, hey, he can get to the NBA by being a lockdown defender. He could always score. He averaged 30 a game at prep school. And, you know, we did the BioSteel All-Star game. Nobody heard of him. He came in there, got the MVP, and scored about 35 points. This guy could always score. But he's just a lockdown defender. Like, his physicality is incredible. And he's got a great mentality. Like, people were asking him, you know, if he talks trash, he goes, I don't have to talk trash because I know you're already in hell. I love that kind of mentality. And you know, he's old school. Like, everybody's jumping here, jumping there. He keeps you in front of him, and he will not let you go where you want to go. And he's going to bang you, bump you. The physicality that he plays with, you know, a lot of people question it because he's hurt some guys. But you better be ready to play, because when he's coming at you, it's going to be a beatdown. And I love the kid.
Leo, unfortunately, we've hit the witching hour. It's 10 a.m. and our producers, he's giving me that funny look again. We're going to let you go. We're going to apologize. We had a couple of technical difficulties, but we got you. But it's always a thrill having you, and should be in it really, really exciting for Canadian basketball, a really exciting NBA Finals. Thanks so much for joining us, Leo.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a good one.
Leo Routens. Lou, thank you so much for joining us. And Naz, as always, last word.
Let's go Oilers for Canada's team.
I like that. I'd like to see McDavid win a Stanley Cup. To our listeners, have a fantastic week. Nino will get that Pizzaville card out to you. Thanks for calling in, and we'll be back again next Sunday morning. Thank you.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.